I'm good. How are you?
Good.
And tell me where you are based.
I'm based out of, well, I say Atlanta, but really a suburb of Atlanta called Suwanee.
Okay.
Like the song.
Mm-hmm.
Down the Suwanee River. You don't want me to sing it, though. You'll lose it. If you do any radio, you'll lose them all.
So you are a nutritionist and an author, correct?
Correct. I have a PhD in nutritional science.
Okay. From where?
Corlins University.
Okay.
And I wrote a few books, but the last book was the most fun, really. It was called The Green Box League of Nutritious Justice.
Okay.
And what it was is, it's really a family book, but we made it extremely kid-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
With pretty pictures, and all the fruits and vegetables are animated. I even have a free app called Green Box Heroes that goes along with the book, and that's on both Apple or the Google Store.
Mm-hmm.
And that's free. And what we did is we try to teach healthy living to the children and to the families. And there's some information in the book that's a little much for the kids, but there's like comic books within the book, 26 of them, that each have a theme about healthy living. So it's pretty good. It did real well, and still doing well, because there's coloring in it, there's spelling in it.
It came out how long ago?
Gosh, now it's over a year.
Yeah, and I remember reading a little bit about it.
Oh, because you did. We speak to you at the beginning with it.
I think they probably sent out a press release when the book was released. Well, with regard to trying to not overindulge with food or beverage for the holidays, on average, how much weight do we as Americans tend to gain between Thanksgiving and New Year's?
Well, they call it weight creep. And I think for some reason they actually started from Halloween, but basically between Thanksgiving and New Year's, the average American gains 7 pounds.
Wow. Okay.
The problem is that we'll only lose 2 of them the following year before the holidays again, and that's why they call it weight creep, because you don't notice it.
Okay.
But you keep adding on 5 pounds every year, approximately.
Okay.
If that happens, which after 1 year is no big deal, 2 years, that's 10 pounds. But after a few years, it's, my God, what happened?
Now, to what do we attribute those 7 pounds to?
Well, because we overindulge, like we do with everything. You know, now I'm concentrating more on drugs and alcohol. Mm-hmm. You know, with my, I work with a company called Named Program. Mm-hmm. Which stands for Nutritional Addiction Mitigation Eating and Drinking. But I still have my regular site, drkeithcantor.com, the DR is for doctor, and I have a lot of this information that they could get from both sites, but the drkeithcantor.com, in your case, where they could get recipes and tips, you know, on how to handle the holidays, listen to different radio shows or read different articles from different magazines.
Right.
But what you have to do during the holidays, not do what we do. No, what's that expression? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if we're going to grandma's or Aunt Polly's for Thanksgiving and it's going to be in the evening time, don't tell your kids and yourself, okay, don't eat breakfast, don't eat lunch, save every seat. You got to have lots of room. And then we go there and we're just totally famished and we eat everything in sight.
Mm-hmm.
So what you have to do is, assuming that the meal is going to be in the evening time, have a regular healthy breakfast, have a regular healthy lunch. So then you're going there, and you know, you may be hungry, but you're not going there where, you know, you're dying. You know, where you're starving to death, and that'll help a lot. We're also supposed to drink, and this is for both alcohol and you know, just eating in general, but we're supposed to drink 1/2 of our body weight in ounces of water per day. So if we weigh 150 pounds, we should drink 75 ounces of water. That's definitely true during the holidays. And if you're going to indulge in alcohol, make sure you have a glass of water, a full glass, before and after every drink.
Okay.
If you do that, it'll sort of fill you up.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't want to drink as much.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we drink because we like to drink, of course, but if you're full, you're not going to drink anymore, or you're going to slow down.
Right.
So that's healthy for you, and it'll cause you to drink less alcohol, which, of course, has a lot of calories in general.
Right.
In most cases, plus it's, not good for you. Also, if you normally work out, like I pretty much work out every day.
Mm-hmm.
That's just me. But if you normally work out every day or every other day, and this is a day that you were supposed to work out, get up early. You burn the calories, and then your metabolism is, it's called your basal metabolism, is a little higher. So when you're eating, you won't, you'll burn more calories because your body's, metabolism is moving quicker. Also, while you're there, see if you can get your friends or family to go for a walk if the weather's nice.
Okay.
And walk around and burn up some calories and burn up some of that alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
But from an alcohol point of view, you want to make sure you don't eat a lot of sweets, which you don't want to do anyhow. Stay away from
What's the correlation between the alcohol and the sweets? Just the excess sugar from the alcohol and the food making you feel bad?
No. See, it's if you want me to get a little scientific for a minute, I will. But what happens is, everybody has opiate receptors in their body.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in your brain, they're in your spinal cord, and they're in your gastrointestinal tract. These opiate receptors get stimulated by different things like drugs, alcohol, but also certain foods. When they get stimulated, they release chemicals that give us urges. Now, our bodies sometimes, or really our mind, isn't smart enough to figure out what that urge is for. So if you're addicted to alcohol or drugs, you just assume that's what the urge is for. And when you have something that stimulates the opiate receptors like sugar, gluten, dairy products, sugar substitutes, several different parts of processed foods, and that stimulates the opiate receptors and it gives you an urge.
Okay.
Well, if you're drinking, your body says, oh, I must want more alcohol. Or if you're addicted to alcohol or any drug. Well, the same thing goes for food, and that's where some of the food comes from. It's telling you to have more sugar. So if you have sugar, it'll stimulate the opiate receptors, and if you're not having a problem with drugs or alcohol, then your body says, oh, I want more sugar. I need 3 cupcakes, not just one. So if you stay away from sugar, also gluten, stimulates the opiate receptors, and dairy products stimulate the opiate receptors, and try to concentrate on protein. It is Thanksgiving, so lots of turkey, watch the gravy, lots of salads, lots of vegetables. You could have almost as much as you want of that, and then just watch the desserts. Just have a little sliver if you want to try 2 or 3. You don't have to have a full piece of each one. Of each one of them. And
right.
And if you do that, and like I said, drink a full glass of water between any glass of alcohol you have, that'll help a lot. And it'll fill you up and it'll make you eat less also.
Okay. Now, a lot of times, with holiday gatherings, even family ones, it's set up, buffet style. So you come into the room and bam, there it is. It's all out there. So what are some strategies for sort of negotiating that buffet table?
Okay, some of this comes from you being a Marine. Before you go into the enemy territory, you have to scout it out, and you send the scouts in. In this case, you are the scout. So you have to look at the buffet table first, instead of just starting at the beginning and going through and taking some of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Walk around, look at the buffet table, nobody's gonna say anything, comment on how beautiful everything is, and then pick out what you want. You don't have to have everything, but you can have your favorites. Make sure you have your proteins, make sure you have your vegetables, pick out your favorites. Then, if you want a little stuffing, have a little stuffing. If there's 3 types, just take a little bit of each type instead of a full scoop of each one.
Right.
Same thing with desserts or anything else that's sweet. And if you scout it out first, and I'm definitely going to have some of that, so I won't have any of this. and you seriously plan it,
mm-hmm.
you know, let's put it this way. We plan a vacation way more than we plan anything about our health or, for that matter, our finances. So think of it as a vacation that you're planning and scout it out first, and that'll help a lot.
Okay. What are some of the, I guess, smarter choices with the traditional holiday meal? What are some things that are maybe, you know, that are there that are not as detrimental to your waistline as some of the other things?
Well, first of all, stay away from processed foods.
Okay.
There's probably won't be that much there because people mm-hmm. cook more from scratch during the holidays, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to eat as much protein as you can, you know, without being ridiculous. But protein is takes longer to process and break down. And so that's good. It'll keep you feeling full longer. Vegetables are excellent. You know, it has all the antioxidants and roughage. So salads and vegetables. And then when you want potatoes, if they have sweet potatoes, I think I would take that as a choice. If they have a baked potato, I would take that as a choice versus, you know, mashed potatoes or French fries, which I don't think that many people have French fries for the holidays, but have that. And then you have to remember, baked potatoes is a nice complex carbohydrate. It's when we put 500 calories of junk on top of it.
Right.
That ruins it. It's the same thing with the turkey. There's nothing wrong with turkey. You could eat a lot of turkey. It's that when we put 5 ladles of gravy on it, and the gravy has sugar in it and everything else, so that's what you have to watch. But the regular natural foods, like the turkeys, like the salad, like the vegetables, you could fill up on those, and then just pick your favorites for the other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's the best stuff anyhow. I mean, seriously, turkey is the best thing to have on Thanksgiving. You know, because most people don't have that type of turkey that often.
Mm-hmm.
So turkey's good. You usually get, instead of the normal vegetables you eat, you get a vast array of vegetables. So there's a lot of good food there to have mm-hmm. while staying away. You have to remember, almost by 2020, they say 40% of America will be diabetic or pre-diabetic.
Wow.
And that's voluntary. That's almost all diabetes type 2. So you just have to watch the sugar. And it's bad for drugs, it's bad for alcohol, and it's bad for numerous other health reasons.
Mm.
We get sugar in everything we eat, just get it more complexly. Don't get it in the simple
right.
sugar or the simple carbohydrates. And you know, fruits have sugar in it.
Mm-hmm.
The darker the fruit, the less sugar.
Okay.
So if you go by some of those rules, you'll be in pretty good shape.
Okay. If people do tend to put on a little bit extra, you know, of that 7 pounds, 5 to 7 pounds or so during the holidays, what are some strategies that they can use to sort of mitigate that?
Well, first of all, you have to watch what you eat, you know, on a normal basis. Drinking the water that I'm talking about will help. If you drink, like I said, 1/2 your body weight in ounces per day, that'll help you with any eating, with eating too much and with drinking too much.
Now, is that sort of across the board for adults and kids, or,
yep.
or for adults?
Yep. Of kids, that's why so many of the kids are overweight now. I mean, they have 1,000 calories a day of things like, I don't want to say a name brand, but like the Juicy Juice type drinks.
Right.
Which either is all sugar or has the fake sugar in it.
Right.
And that's not good. If they had water, and you could make it fun, you could put a pitcher of water in the refrigerator the night before and let the kids squish the fruit in it.
Mm-hmm.
Themselves with their own hands, which they think is super cool. And then that's what you fill up their thermos with or whatever. But now they made it themselves, so they take claim to it. It has a little flavor to it, but it's a lot less calories than Juicy Juice type drinks. And that's what we should be drinking too. And for adults, try to use lemons and limes because it's slightly alkaline, which helps.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other pitfalls to watch out for?
Well, you have to try to work out. I think it's important to, I think that you should try to get into a routine of working out every day, but at least every other day.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm 61 years old and people say to me, well, what do you do to stay so thin? And my wife says, oh, don't listen to him. He eats junk. But I do work out every day, and I know I burn 1,000 calories a day working out. So, although it's
61?
Yes, I'm 61.
Okay.
But I don't look a year over 60.
Now, are you still active military?
No, I'm not active anymore, but I had 40 years in the Marines between active and inactive and reserve and everything. I'm active where I support and I do a lot of things of that nature, but I'm not active where I have to go anywhere and have people shoot at me anymore.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, I know. I'm a little slow. I don't think I could dodge and duck and weave like I used to.
So what made you decide to get a doctorate degree in nutrition?
Well, first of all, I have 2 children. And I'm married for 40 years, by the way, which I'll probably be one of the few people you have on your show this year that's married that long. So, you know, health was very important to us. And I've been in the natural food industry for a long time. So it was just helpful for the career. And then as I got to the point of getting closer to retirement, I started doing more with the problems that we're facing, which is we have a healthcare crisis in the United States, obviously. We have a diabetes crisis in the United States, which is under that. And now we have an addiction crisis. So that's where I've been putting my emphasis as I got a little older and started working more out of the home.
Okay.
It's nice at some point to be able to say that maybe, possibly, you made a difference. And, you know, when you're younger and raising your family, you're not thinking about that as much. When you get older and you could reflect on it and you have more time and your kids are gone, or at least out of the homes, mm-hmm. and working, you could spend more time, you know. I guess if I was a politician, it would be my legacy.
Well, not a bad legacy to have or to strive for sure.
That's my thinking, especially with the addiction program. It's so terrible, the problems we have in the United States. You know, we have like over 25 million addicts in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And the really successful withdrawal rate's only about 13%. And my goal is to get it to closer to 30%, which is still low.
Mm-hmm.
But with the programs that I've come up with and the people that I've teamed with, I believe that we're actually going to be able to do that. And, you know, that's a huge number. That's a big difference. But even if it just made it from 13% to 20 or 17, when you're talking about the numbers of people, that's a huge difference. And that's what I want to do.
And the NAMED company, they are striving to do that through...
It's called NAMED, like I'm named Keith. So it's NAMED program.com.
Okay.
And the reason it is because the name stands for, I said it, nutritional addiction mitigation, eating, and drinking. And if I said that, nobody's going to remember it. So nameprogram.com is a lot easier to remember.
Okay.
And the other side is just dr for Dr. KeithCantor.com. And between the two, they're both free, you know, to peruse. And the Dr. Keith Cantor is totally free. The other one is for addiction clinics and rehabilitation centers, and they get a code that they pay for so they could get menus for, mm-hmm. you know, all year long. But for somebody who just wants to look at it, they could get a free week worth of menus. That's,
okay.
You know, just by clicking something on the site.
Okay. Now, what got you interested in the addiction side of
it? Actually, a friend of mine called me up and asked me if I would be on his board of directors because he was setting up some high-end addiction centers. Mm-hmm. And I said yes. Then he asked me if I would do the menus and or look at them at least. Mm-hmm. I said yes. And then when I started researching it, I said, oh, my God, nobody did this yet? So I researched it and I made sure that all the menus, you know, plus I have, you know, great dietitians that work with me, etc. But I made sure all the menus don't stimulate the opiate receptors and get rid of the inflammation, because the higher pH that we have in our body, because the inflammation is caused by acidosis, which means we have too low of a pH, which almost all addicts do, but most Americans do. And I try to raise that up and get it closer to back to neutral. Mm-hmm. Because when you have inflammation, internal inflammation, it makes the insulin mechanism not work properly. And it either gives us urges for sugar or has all our cells drop the sugar. And that stimulates the opiate receptors and it starts that cycle again. So my menus do both of those things. You know, plus, of course, they're in a facility, so they have psychiatrists there or psychologists there. They do amino acid therapy there. They work out there. They have good nutrition. So between all of it, it puts them on the right track. And then by hopefully not stimulating the opiate receptors for the month or 2 months that they're there, that makes it easier for them to continue and stay off the drugs or alcohol.
You're tweaking the diet to kind of not trigger those things. Does that mean that the menu or the food has to taste bad? Or is
no, not at all. you can tell. If you go to my site, you can tell any difference at all. We just don't use pure sugar, but it doesn't matter. You could use things like fruits and so many other spices that you could use. Mm-hmm. No, they're delicious.
With the artificial sweeteners with regard to that?
Well, first of all, except for stevia, all the rest of them are, you know, all artificial and they're chemicals. But what really happens is it tricks your body. Mm-hmm. At the beginning, so the body senses the sweetness, thinks it's sugar, and does what it's supposed to do. Well, after that happens a bunch of times, it realizes, hey, wait a second, this really isn't sugar. The heck with this. So then when real sugar comes in, the body doesn't do what it's supposed to do, because it sort of say, nah, you're tricking me again. So then we slow down the way we react to real sugar, because we kept doing it, you know, putting in basically fake sugar to sweeten it up, so it throws the mechanism off in the body.
Which would make you crave more?
It's not so much that you crave more, but what happens is the body doesn't process the sugar like it should, because it's mixed up in a sense. Is this real? Is it not real? Mm-hmm. And so that's one. The other thing is we fool ourselves. Well, okay, well, I'm not having sugar, you know, with this, and I'm not having sugar with this. So then we tend to eat other things that have sugar, but it's okay because I saved it over here.
So you overindulge.
That's right, and you overindulge. And they have several clinical studies that show that people that use artificial sweeteners all the time tend to consume more calories than people who just use small amounts of real sugar.
Right. Okay. All right. Anything else you can think of?
No, just mention the websites again if you can. And besides that, if there's anything you need at all, but thank you so much for having me on the Index Journal. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye.